The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. I've got Mike to my left, Bo across from me. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass. Now, last night, Braves did lose to the Athletics 5-4. It was a walk-off situation. It took 11 innings. They will head to St. Louis today to face the Cardinals with Grant Holmes on the mound. Did you guys? I mean, that was a late game.
Yeah, I watched some of it, and then I turned it off because I got pissed off. I'm not gonna lie. I just got mad. Strider struggled early, but then he really locked in. People don't want to hear this, but Spencer Strider's in some ways learning how to pitch again. Mm-hmm. with not hitting 100 constantly, and he might come back next year and be able to hit 100 again.
I genuinely hope he doesn't.
But I know he gave up a 3-run homer in that first inning, and because he walked a guy and everything, just was all over the place. But then to get 11 strikeouts and go pitch another 5 2/3 after that first inning, he ended up pitching 6 2/3 and almost made it through the seventh. I just find some good in that because I think that next year you're going to see a better version of Spencer Strider than we've probably ever seen.
I agree. I honestly want him to learn to pitch. I hope that he is learning to pitch again because I want to see him start hitting spots a little bit better. You mentioned the home run in the first inning. Slider just left over the middle of the plate. There was another fastball, I think it was to Rooker, that just was ripped in that inning. He had his ups and downs. There was location struggles throughout, just obviously a handful of walks and things like that. But to Bo's point, he battled through it, and he was able to at least get, a quality outing out ahead of him, and gave his chance a chance to win.
You said pitch again. I think he's learning to pitch for the first time, because I think, and I know you didn't mean anything by it, but like I think that he's always just been able to rely on being a two and a half pitch guy and just throw it by guys.
You say pitch again?
No, I'm saying to learn how to. Well, you said pitch again. He's learned how to. You said it to my point. He's learned how to pitch again. But I think he's just learning how to pitch for the first time. I think so many guys just throw.
Definitely him, and he was a thrower. I agree.
It's cool to see because it felt as bad as it's for this team right now. I felt like he grew up. He's growing up literally as a player in front of our eyes. I'm actually starting to get excited about him now. Because he's just becoming an all-around better player.
Well, hopefully we can win this series against the Cardinals before the All-Star break. Speaking of which, the home run derby list has been finalized. Of course, it is Ronald Acuna Jr., Cal Raleigh, James Wood, Byron Buxton, O'Neill Cruz, Junior Caminero, Brent Rooker, and Jazz Chisholm. I really would like Ronald to take this one, especially since Brent Rooker is in it.
Yeah, give us something good to feel about. We were all just talking about Byron Buxton being a part of this. He's a Georgia native. Baxley,
yeah. Georgia.
Right. I'd never heard of Baxley, Georgia until yesterday when Byron Buxton was announced. I did not know where that town
you've
was.
You never went from 75 on 341 to Brunswick then?
I probably have, but yeah. I can't say that I wrote down Baxley and was like, oh, I'll remember that place.
Yeah, I got to come back and visit.
that's the spot. No, I didn't. But I think it is cool that there's a Georgia native, and that was like the headline yesterday when he was announced. So I'm excited. I love the Home Run Derby. It's one of my favorite events every year. I hate the fact that the format changes up every now and then. I hope they never change the All-Star Game format. I don't need the captain's thing and all that other stuff going on, but yeah, I was reading back up on the format, three-round bracket-style format with 8 participants. Obviously, the first round, all 8 players will have 3 minutes or 40 pitches, whichever comes first, to hit as many as possible, a bonus period. It's a little bit gimmicky, but no matter what, the Home Run Derby always, for me, is must-see TV.
Yes.
Always is.
Oh, it's so fun. Well, we were talking yesterday about the NFL and the NFL Players Association collusion case. It turns out the NFLPA Executive Director, Lloyd Howell, works as a part-time consultant for a private equity fund that has NFL ties. Why is this a big deal?
Well, the big deal is that group, the Carlyle Group, is one of a few select groups that has been league approved with private equity firms that can seek minority ownership in NFL franchises. So in other words, he is advising people on how to become owners. He's being paid essentially by ownership. if that group was to buy a stake in a team, he is literally working for ownership while leading the NFLPA. And I'm not trying to say that they don't work together, the PA in the league, but they are adversarial. One is out for the best interest of the ownership. They'll tell you the league, but the ownership. And the other is out for the best interest of the player.
Yeah.
It's not a friendly thing, okay? Like, Goodell, one of Goodell's main jobs as commissioner, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, Mike, is to be the middleman, the go-between, to make these two guys, almost an arbitrator of sorts, to work things out. So you don't have to go hire an outside arbitrator to work these things out.
Even though they do most times. I was going to say, this might just be the player perspective of me. I never thought of Goodell as a go-between. I thought of him as the union leader for the owners. That's just how I always like.
That's an interesting way to put it too.
Yeah, they go to me. Him and Lloyd Howell are kind of opposites of one another, and kind of have to work hand in hand. And it is interesting. ESPN reported yesterday that there were from sources, quote unquote, that there are multiple people that did approach him. A senior union lawyer spoke with him about whether it was appropriate, and actually asked him to consider resigning from the private equity firm to avoid the appearance of conflict, and he declined. He was like, "Nah, I think we're good." You know, he could not be reached by ESPN is what the story says. I wouldn't be one to be reached either. This, and I said this yesterday on the show, and I'll say it even threefold today. He's cooked. You can't come back from this, man. Once those players start second guessing whether or not you have their best value, their best interest in mind, you're cooked, man. You got to be removed from the situation.
Well, yeah, he's done.
The Thunder signed Jalen Williams to a 5-year maximum rookie contract extension that could reach $287 million. That means the Thunder now have SGA, Chet, and Jalen all under contract for the foreseeable future with deals that could total up to $822 million.
They are clearly making a push to be the next version of a dynasty, so to speak, like a Golden State. We've seen, obviously, the Spurs do it. The Bulls obviously did it for 6 out of 8 years or 7 years. I know there's a lot made real quick about the move from Seattle still. I mean, I know Andy Bunker, who obviously hosts Middays with Andy Rain 11 to 2 every day, is a Seattle guy, and he hates the organization because of it. But I'm not sure if there's 5 better-ran franchises in the Oklahoma City Thunder and the NBA.
I completely agree.
They did a rebuild right. They ran incredibly efficient. Smart, they know how to handle things.
Yeah, on the opposite end of that spectrum, I'd noticed that Herb Jones signed a 3-year, $68 million contract extension with the Pelicans yesterday. If you'll remember, there was a number of people with Herb Jones that kind of would have loved to see him land in Atlanta. He's one of those defensive guys that can really shoot it as well, and he's a lockdown defender. I love seeing him get the extension, but I was almost shocked. The Pelicans seemingly do nothing right. I don't know that the numbers add up, but I was like, man, good for them. They actually got one in their corner because I like Herb Jones as a player. You know, he's very valuable in that aspect. So, yeah, a lot of cool things running down the road with some of those guys getting their money, getting their bag.
Well, it always hits me when I'm reading these contract extensions, these deals that happen. I'm like, why was I not athletically gifted?
Right? Like, especially in basketball.
Seriously?
Especially in basketball. You're like, dude, there is a lot of money out in the NBA, man.
Y'all still think there's hope for me? I had I had my rec league game last night, put up a solid 14. Yeah.
You know what's funny is no, but I also am the same guy that told a buddy of mine who plays in our league, MGA, that he had Tommy John surgery. And I was like, did you get the brace surgery? And he was like, no, it was really more clean. I was like, good, because if you got in the brace surgery, you know, most Major League Baseball pitchers can never pitch again. Yeah. And he was like, well, that'd be good if I was a Major League Baseball player.
Look, we do the iRacing. I still say I'm training for my NASCAR career.
Well, you know what I mean? You know
38,
what?
I'm like, I'll get there when I'm 60.
Anything is possible.
Well, anything is possible.
The way you drive these days, you definitely make a role for an Austin Dillon or Ross Chastain just running over people.
I'm here for it.
All right, any guesses on who forgot we were on the radio
Probably
yesterday?
Me.
It's probably me.
Let's get into it.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First, I I want to start with the enigma that is Mike Johnson.
Oh, God.
Because.
Oh, God.
Because when it was coming up on NASCAR and you guys are packing, getting ready to go, you were so chill. And yeah. Like, yeah. Well, there's a public.
Yes.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You were probably that kid in school that could just like stuff papers in your backpack.
100%. Walked in every day with a number two pencil.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts because I have to over-prepare for everything in life. However, you are extremely concerned about packing for the beach.
That's a whole different thing.
What's the difference here? Because there's still stores in it, wherever this beach is.
You
want to
know what the difference is?
What's the difference?
One of them is about 4 foot tall. The other one's about 3 foot tall. And they're going to be riding in the back seat. We're also going to Fort Morgan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys are familiar. So obviously down on that area, you got Perdido Key. You got Orange Beach, you got Gulf Shores, and then Fort Morgan is like Timbuktu. Like
okay.
You are a 30-minute drive to a store down in Fort Morgan.
Is that the one, is that right there where it's in between like Destin and...
No.
Okay.
No, that's, you're thinking of 30A?
I don't know, there's a fort down there or a military base.
I don't know, maybe Fort Pickens?
Nah, maybe.
That's all Pensacola. No, Fort Morgan is like, is at the tip of like Mobile Bay. Like, it's over in Alabama. It's like at the
near
very tip
Dolphin
of
Dolphin Island?
Yeah, like, if you can get a ferry from Fort Morgan to Dolphin Island.
Oh,
yes.
Good. That's where we're going to go in September,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's out there. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in Fort Morgan and the kid's like, oh, I forgot my floaties, you're like, son of a, oh, my God, this is going to take all day. So, yeah, I am overprepared for this.
A little more puckered about the...
Yeah, pucker.
About that packing situation.
Yes.
All right. Yesterday, we were talking about the NFL and NFL Players Association collusion situation. And, Bo, you seem to forget that we're on the radio. Mm. Let's go ahead and play the audio from yesterday when you were discussing this.
The head of the union probably called Roger Goodell and said, hey, call me on your burner. And they did. And, or they're sitting at a bench with their faces covered, like in casino. And they're like, hey, we gotta ixnay the hombre deal. We can't do this anymore.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean? It's a bad look for us. We gotta make our players think we're fighting for them. All right, well, and then they're gonna settle out of court or some crap.
All right, here's what's happening behind the scenes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Bo was mimicking walkie talkies. But however, you have to change your voice if you're talking in two different walkie talkies.
Yeah.
You have to change your voice because nobody can see that you're talking into two different walkie-talkies.
Yeah, he's doing the whole hand signal thing. He's like, you know, covering his face and he's talking in walkie-talkie.
And you could have added the little like at the end of each thing, like
over.
Well, I was really more doing like covering, you know, like they do. They cover the face with the toothpick.
Yeah,
he was the
second baseman visiting the pitcher on the mound.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He's
but you know what? Everybody's a nitpicker. I mean, everybody knows they can do everything. That's can do a... everything else better.
Nobody can see us.
We need to get a video of that, of you doing the two different walkie-talkies. It was hysterical. Now, this last one is really just because I want to hear it again. Dylan has the most unexpected yet amazing impression of Tiffany, I Love New York, Pollard. I got to hear it again. He's preparing.
Oh. All right. Here we go. You brought me back here just to reopen this same wound, Flav. The same wound, Flay. Why bring me back here again?
I'm trying to think of what In Living Color character he sounds like. He sounds like one of the characters from In Living Color.
Homie, don't play that?
Yeah. Yes, maybe it is Homie the Clown.
That.
Maybe it is Homie the Clown. It's definitely one of those where, yeah, that's what he sounds like to me. That's all I hear.
I mean,
yeah,
all,
Homie, don't play that.
All week I've randomly had like Dylan's voice pop up in my head with the New York impression.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, like so it, good.
That's so spot on.
And out of left field completely. Well, thank you all for being a good sport during the rookie report. Over. It's over. All right, coming up, we're going to get back into some Falcons talk. Where do they rank in the NFL? We'll get into it next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and...
The Odyssey app. Over.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.